您现在听到的是精简版的 Roundtable 节目，想收听并下载一小时完整节目，可以打开网站 CRIEZFM.com， 点击 Roundtable。 Podcast 用户可以搜索圆桌会议。 Popular reality shows that have ignited Chinese screens are turning many shooting locations into popular sightseeing sites, including places that were previously unheard of. While travelers get to experience what reality show stars have right there, they also complain about problems such as overcharging.
这两年以《爸爸去哪儿》《奔跑吧兄弟》等为代表的户外真人秀红得不能自已，捧出了明星，翻拍了电影，连带节目的拍摄地也跟着沾光，摇身变成了旅行社的吸金主力。
So really, how popular is this reality show driven tourism? Does it make sense to you?
First, I just want to say how this reminds me of a theory of time travel that I came across when I was in university. A friend of mine told me this. I believe if anyone wants to look it up, Terence McKenna, I think is his name.Anyway, so it's this idea, he thinks that when time travel is actually invented, when a working machine finally comes into existence, suddenly there's going to be all these people that just show up and are watching as the first time machine is turned on, because...Time travel in the future will be possible, so that everyone is going to want to go and see when time travel was first created. That is going to be, you know, the tourism destination for the time travel age. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing here with tourism in China and reality TV shows.
I think reality TV shows, they make these travel spots or tourist attractions, far more appealing.Than any other advertising strategy. And I think that is why that, it's made some of these obscure places suddenly into super popular ones. And travel agencies have been reporting that, they've actually designed special, tourist packages just replicating what these reality shows have, shown on TV, where to travel, how to travel,and how to spend your time at a tourist attraction. So, pretty much last year, this show called Hua Er Yu Shao Nian, oh gosh, Diva Hit the Road, or Grandpa's Over Flowers, Hua Yang Ye Ye, these two shows that focus, they're travel shows essentially, and they focus on overseas routes, so it seems that last year overseas traveling was largely replicating what has been shown on these two shows, and Where Are We Going, Dad seems to be the prime example of how do you design to go travel inside China. And I think, yeah, it's really made a big impact on the tourism industry in China.
Mm. It's such a big impact that for New Zealand to get featured in the second season of Dad, Where Are We Going, Baba Chunar, they had to pay $169 million to actually host the production of the episodes that were in New Zealand. And so as we can see, yet again, reality TV is never actually about reality. This is the perfect vehicle for advertisement, especially for tourism. And more and more countries, more and more areas are going to be willing to pony up, especially for, you know, a show like with the proven track record of Dad, Where Are We Going? But I do want to say that, to be honest, if I'm really honest with myself and with you guys and our listeners, I really do think what Dad, Where Are We Going is, I think it's pretty disgusting, actually, because it's these washed up celebrities, B-list celebrities who are trying to make a comeback using their children. I'm sorry, that's just completely unacceptable to me.
There are a lot of people who agree with you, John, but for me, I kind of wonder about this magical power on tourism of these reality shows, because it used to be that you have to be a really great writer or a painter, died 100 years before your residence can be a famous tourist attraction. And now you can be a nobody. You can be like a really dilapidated village house. And just because you hosted a B-list star, like John said, you suddenly can make thousands and tens of thousands of money.
Yeah, I think that is probably just the epitome of the age we live in now, and everything is so fast, and it's money-oriented and also celebrity-oriented, and this is exactly what we're seeing here. And as much as I do agree with what you've just said, Xiaohua, but I can't help being sucked into this, more or less. Because, okay, in the name of preparing for this show, I'm a model worker. I actually did a little bit of research.
She was named model worker a while back, wasn't she?
Was that?
I can't remember.
Oh, yeah.
Named by
yes.
you,
yeah.
thank you. And I watched a little bit of the latest episode of Diva Hits the Road.
Why are you showing you?
Yeah.
No, Koi is with you there. Koi says she likes the show. Anyway.
Okay, well, I wouldn't go as far as saying I like it, but there's this part that I just suddenly realized that this whole thing works. And how effective it is, because there was this hotel that was shown in the latest episode of that show, and because through cameras with celebrities using just the rooms and showing how beautiful the place is, and also a little just there was only 1 second of the history that was being shown that my favorite mystery writer, Agatha Christie, used to live there. Stayed there very briefly. And it was only like a 2 second shot. And it had an impact on me. And then I was like, wow, I would love to go to that, stay at that hotel if I ever go to Istanbul. And then it was just, suddenly I was like, you know, I always think that I'm immune to this kind of stuff. I work in the media. But even I thought at that moment, wow, this works on me.
My impression of you is that you would be quite susceptible, actually. So obviously the way you think about yourself and the way that I think about you.
Thanks
is,
so much for your support, John.
Not in a bad way, but you know, you're young, you're naive. It's to be expected. And so
that is really mean of you.
Okay, let's get to the point of the discussion.
It's not being mean at all.
Which is these shows and tourism led by.
Well, I just think it's interesting because, you know, I had the opportunity on a business trip to go to Hainan, and so we went to Sanya, Haikou and Wuzhishan, all very, very nice, except for Haikou. Haikou was just okay. But when we were in
Sanya. Haikou's great.
Anyway, keep going, John.
When we were in Sanya, she's just being difficult to be difficult. When we were in Sanya, we went to the Rainforest Park where Feichang Wura are, part of it was filmed. And we went there and I was like, oh, this is pretty interesting. But there were so many people there, for a place that really just wasn't, number one, it was supposed to be more like a hotel. Mm-hmm. Why is this hotel suddenly, you know, like a tourist destination? And so I think that really, I mean, it's a lot of this really does appeal to, I think, Chinese people's, felt need to experience the world, or just see more outside of what they're used to. And so they see these wonderful images of Istanbul, of Yunnan, of Heilongjiang. And they go, and so they think, well, I want to go somewhere. I'm a traveler, or I want to be a traveler. And so now I know where I'm going. And so really, I mean, it's a fantastic advertising model, as much as I hate reality TV.
Yeah. But do you think that there can be problems? I mean, the sudden popularity of these so-called tourist attractions, which were previously not heard of, do you think it might bring problems to the locals or to the travel industry?
Definitely, because I think for these villages specifically, often they're not equipped with the kind of facilities and capacity to accommodate a sudden swarm of people coming in. And sometimes we're talking about tens of thousands of people swarming in one day. And how are they going to deal with all this people, with people who want to stay there, eat there, and all those kind of things? And also, how do you turn this short-term money grab into a long-term thing? And I think that is a major, vexing problem, I suppose, for the local people.
I think a lot of this is going to end up turning into more and more of a business model for these TV shows and production companies and things like that. And so I think that on the one hand, yeah, we do see that there is some impact with just, you know, tens of thousands of people just suddenly showing up at places that never really expected it. But I think that's going to change as these TV shows and production companies start charging and start actually asking for money. And so you're going to get, you know, villages or you know, municipalities that are kind of planning it. It's part of their tourism budget to have Dad, Where Are We Going? These other reality TV shows come and shoot there.
It is interesting the way you are putting it, this on, but also to the people who like this. Do you think people with this whole craze about reality shows dying, hopefully, will people be less enthusiastic?
Dying?
I don't know. There are more reality shows, which means that there will be good ones and there will be bad ones, which means, I guess, maybe the craze will be dying down a little bit.
It could be. And some of the craze have already died down. To give you an example, apparently last year's 爷爷, the that one, and I can't even remember. There are just too many of them. So apparently the package that the tourist agency designed according to that show has already been pulled off this year because of no demand. So I think often this proves to be a short-term craze, but how do you make it a continuous revenue stream, a continued thing, is definitely a bigger question.
Well, this is always going to be a challenge for Chinese entertainment products in general, and many, you know, consumer services, you might say, as well. It's just, as soon as there's a successful product, whether it's TV, movie, or, you know, app or some type of online service, everyone likes to jump in. And so I think that, yes, this is a challenge on how to create a sustainable business, but a lot of people, they don't really care, actually, about creating sustainable business. They just want to get in and get out with as much money as possible.
Which is very sad.